So we're going to recap Revelation 1 to 3. The reason why I want to do that is obvious, I think. You get into the book of the Revelation, and we've covered these three chapters. My intention is not to re-preach them. But you can lose the big truth in the middle of all the detail. So we're going to recap so we don't miss the big truth in amongst all the details. And the big truth is this, so that you know, that the all-conquering King Jesus reigns right now victoriously forever. And he has in his saving love conquered his people, which he calls the church, that meet in the churches. So the church under Christ and indwelt by the Spirit can conquer all the enemies in a threatening world that has evil in it. The entire book is all about that, isn't it? How the conquering Christ enables his conquered people to conquer in a threatening world full of evil. And at the end, the final conquest is laid out before the church, even in chapters 2 and 3. So that the church has living hope to conquer in the fight. So you will return to your life situation this evening. You are part of Christ's people. And you may have a very threatening world in which you inhabit. You may feel overwhelmed by that world. Well, the new creation, the final conquest, needs to be borne in mind. This is the living hope for the fight. Because, my friends, let's get hold of this. We win. The fight may be hard. The fight may take much out of us. We may be bruised. We may be scarred. We may be broken. But we win. Therefore, come with me to these this recap. Notice the conqueror. That's where chapter 1 really takes us, isn't it? So moving to hear it read by Debbie just now, wasn't it? The revealing of Jesus as he is now in his eternal reign. That is what chapter 1 underlines to us. The revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 1, that God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. The book centers on him. It's the unfolding of all history from his ascension to his return. And it's all being shown in general terms to John. And therefore it's being shown to you and me in general terms. No, we don't have all the details. So we need to understand that the book of Revelation is the completion of written truth for us. We need to understand that the revelation comes at the end of the Bible because it's completing the entirety of what God says to us. He's not going to add anything else. So here's the good news for us. When you look at your Bible, whatever version you have before you, from Genesis to Revelation, you need nothing more to be a church and to be Christian people living where God has placed you. He's the timeless Lord over all time, at all time. He is indeed, as we are told in verse 4, that he is the one who was, who is, and who was, and who is to come. The three tenses are covered. He is the timeless Lord over the entirety of history, and he never abdicates his throne. He is the one who works through the Spirit. Spirit is mentioned often in Revelation, the sevenfold Spirit, who is before his throne, verse 4. Sevenfold indicating that the Spirit has a perfect ministry amongst God's people. And so the Spirit is sent, as we heard this morning, into the church to live amongst us forever and forever. And he never leaves us. So as Christ is Lord over us, The Spirit is Lord in us. We have a helper in heaven. We have a helper on earth. The second and third person of the Trinity. And the titles that we catch, that describe Jesus in this chapter, which I'm not going to unfold, are just awesome descriptions emphasizing his complete victory and brilliant majesty. So Christ is the conqueror, now and always. He is the one who is the conqueror over the whole church throughout all history. So the 20-somethings in this room, how's it going to go for you when some of us have gone and we've gone to heaven? And you said, well, how are we going to fare? We've got some big challenges. We've prayed for children in our congregation. How are they going to stand as adults in the world in which is now developing? Christ is the conqueror over the whole church at all times, for every generation. And the children that are sitting here just now, it's good to have them here, isn't it? May they know that the conquering Jesus is over their lives. And they can face everything, knowing that. The returning king, though, is held out as the last great saving event. In chapter 1, verse 7, of course, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be, amen. So the last great saving event is the return of Jesus. And it's not always easy to allow that to get into our hearts. So I think the hymns have been helping us tonight a little bit, haven't they? Have you not enjoyed singing about the return of Christ? I hope you have anyway. I didn't choose them. You're okay. Somebody else did that. It's the last great saving event. So that means that Jesus the conqueror cannot be defeated because his return is sure. No amount of evil activity can prevent the Son of God coming again on the day appointed for him to take his church home. He is conqueror forever. So there's no need to fear. We fear because life is threatening and can overwhelm us. And I think most of us, if not all of us, have felt something of that, haven't we? At some stage in our lives. Fear overwhelming us. Life is threatening, you see. So how do you overwhelm fear? You overwhelm fear by faith. And how do you overwhelm fear by faith? By understanding that Christ is the living one. Who is the first and the last and the living one who was dead. But look now, I'm alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys. So, do you realize if you don't need to fear Jesus, you don't need to fear anything. That's how it works. For if Christ was not our Savior, then of course we would be threatened by him, wouldn't we? But he is our Savior. The threat is gone. He holds the keys. He is the one, as verse 6 tells us, or verse 5 tells us, who loves us and has set us free from our sins by his blood. Yes, he is the one who died, but who now lives forever. So fear not. And you'll be tempted to fear this week sometime, I'm sure, so will I. And what are we going to do with that fear when it comes our way? The conqueror. Secondly, the conquered. And that's the church, isn't it? See, Christ is the conqueror. So if he's the king who has conquered, then he has to have a kingdom that he rules. Now, he rules the entire world. That's part of his kingdom. But we're the church, and we've been conquered. And, of course, the church is very important to Jesus. Even in chapter 1, it's seen as the seven golden lampstands upon that he stands among. But we've been conquered. And that's good news, isn't it? I don't know when you were conquered and came to Christ, but you lost. And so did I. We were defeated in our unbelief. We were defeated in our rebellion against God by Jesus saving us and bringing us to himself. And now we live as conquered people in his victory. That is why each of the seven churches are reminded when Jesus speaks to them about the fact that he is the all-conquering Christ. They are never allowed to forget that. And so we are conquered in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are lampstands that are to shine Jesus into a dark world. Lampstands are the first of the images that will meet us in the book of the Revelation. And you'll find that the book of Revelation is full of images. But you don't have to scratch your head about what does this image mean. Because this image clearly depicts what it means. We are those who are to reflect Jesus, the conqueror, to a broken, defeated world. I hope you don't think that the world is winning. It sometimes seems like that, doesn't it? And particularly when we live in our own Western culture, when secular viewpoints are most emphatically moving forward with such aggression. You think the world is winning? It isn't. The world is losing. Sadly, the world has lost. You know, sometimes unbelievers might say, oh, you're just deluded as Christians. We're not the deluded ones. We're the enlightened ones. I'm not saying it arrogantly. They're the deluded ones. They're deceived. They've lost. We are the ones that are winning in Christ. And we are to reflect this Jesus to a broken world. We are the conquered church. And the conquered church must learn what it means to continue to conquer. And how do we continue to conquer our spiritual enemies? Well, how does Jesus address the seven churches? He speaks to them on the basis of his truth. I know all about you, and this is what I want you to listen to as I speak to you on my truth. The church that listens to Christ in the Bible and by the power of the Spirit seeks to do what he says will be a church that conquers in time and can defeat all the enemies against the church. Sin, the devil, the world, and death. Christ knows us. That's important, isn't it? We've seen that. He says it to every church. We're not getting the personal opinion of somebody else. We're not even getting the opinion of the culture as to what it thinks about the church. No, we're being told this is what Christ infallibly knows. There's only one infallible opinion in the church, and it's not mine. It's not far away, but it's not mine. It's Christ's. TCM, where everybody is somebody, and Jesus Christ is Lord. We must never forget that. Christ knows. And you will know that in the seven churches, that there is a commending ministry of Jesus because he loves his people and wishes them to continue to conquer in his world. And part of the way that we conquer is that we get affirmed by the truth. There are things that are good about you. Okay? You need to hear that. Because if you understand these seven churches, it is the correcting ministry that is mostly in view. And if you hear it as saying, oh, you're a bad church by Jesus, then we've misunderstood him, haven't we? No, my friends. This is the conquering Lord saying to us, I love you, but there is stuff that you need to work on in me. I want you to conquer, but there is an enemy doing some work here. And you need to take action. And that's how it works. The conquering Lord wants his church to conquer in him. And part of that is about a correcting ministry. Because you see, my friends, I'm sure you believe this. We're not perfect yet, are we? Anybody who's perfect, well, could you please leave? Why are you staying here with us? We are perfect in the new creation. And there needs to be a correcting ministry. Because the church is not perfect. Because we have to fight sin all the days of our life together. Which is why we need each other, isn't it? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Romans 8:37. I quoted at the end as well. And that correcting ministry, when it comes to us, let's not rebel against it. Let's not fight it. Let's not try to find excuses for it. Let's take it on the chin and say, conquering Lord, you want us to conquer. Win in the fight on earth at this time. Finally, the final conquest must always be kept in view. Every one of these local churches at the end is faced with a new creation, something about the future. For example, chapter 2, verse 7. Let everyone who has ears to hear listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. That's all churches at all time. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Eden is restored but bettered. Now, I'm not going to go through all of those, but in the end of each of these seven churches, you know now that the new creation is brought into focus. The final conquest. The church that conquers in Christ ends up in this. And what you can do, if you want to, this week, I'm not going to check. But it might be a useful thing to do, as I have done it actually, is to just take the end of each of those seven chapters and write out what is said and get a big total picture of the new creation that comes to all of them. And make them work for you. You see, the Bible doesn't expect us to be lazy. I'm not saying you're lazy. Didn't say that. I'm sure you're very serious people about Jesus and his word. And that's why it's a pleasure to be your pastor. But I recognize that sometimes we just have to give ourselves to think these things through a bit more and make the images work. Because these images are full of new creation life and victory and authority. This is where we're heading. If you're going to go on holiday this year, I think you may have done a bit of research. We went to Ireland this past week, Southern Ireland, and so I bought a book, as I want to do. If I'm going somewhere, got to buy a book. Read up on it. See how much rain falls. Yes, I didn't check that one out, though. Why? Because that's my destination. I don't want to land in Shannon Airport and think, oh, crumbs, where have I come to? Where am I going? What am I going to see? What am I going to do for 7 days? We don't work like that, do we? And yet, when it comes to new creation, we do. Now, I know it's not always easy to get our heads around the images, but that's why I'm saying to you, you've got to take the images and make them work for you. They're pictures depicting your final conquest in Christ. But let me just go for the last one. Because I think, you see, at the end of the age, the conqueror will come. And we will stand beside him as conquerors, sharing in the conquest. The conqueror and the conquered standing together. Have you ever been in a team that has had victory? Maybe you've run to the end of the pitch as a team, you know, in one of those lines, and you just raise each other's hands together, victors. Christ will gather his team if you want. This is not a theology. He's in the middle, of course. We appear with him in glory. And to the entirety of humanity that is not believing, and to Satan and all his workers, the church appears and Christ says, there's my victory. Finished, he cried. And yes, it was finished. But that finished means a people will conquer and appear with him. And that is not, so it's not just him coming in his victory, you know, as awesome as that is, we are his victory. The conqueror and the conquered together. To the one who conquers, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne. Think of all the power plays of our culture. Think of the culture of success that seemingly seems invincible. And yet here we are, sitting beside the King. And alongside the King is the Father. That's the ultimate power play. That's the ultimate culture of success. That's our final conquest. That's where we're going. And that's why we can go back to our life situation in a few moments' time. And we can struggle with sin, and we can fight with unbelief, and we seek to be a witness to the people around us, and we try to live distinctively holy lives, and we go back to that. And we can conquer in Christ in that, because we know the end. I think that's what we've been learning in the 3 chapters of Revelation. Well, that's what you should have been learning anyway. I'm sure you were. Listen to the words of Paul in Romans. Now, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Go and suck on that all week. That's what somebody said about the promises. They're like sweets. You need to suck them for all they're worth. Let's pray. Oh, come, let us adore him. For he alone is worthy. And he alone should receive all the glory. Risen, conquering Jesus, We thank you that we are your church. Thank you for conquering our lives and bringing us out of our sin, out of our death, into eternal life. Thank you that this week we can go forward in you by the power of the Spirit and in the truth. And we can live conquering lives in a world that has lost. Lord, it's easy to be fooled by the world. It's easy to see the power plays and the culture of success. And yet, Lord, it isn't. We are the culture of success. In you, we are the power play. We can overcome. We can be those conquerors that you've called us to be because of Christ, who died for us on a cross and rose again from the dead. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. We want to appear with you in glory. We want you to proclaim over us your victory. Show us off to those who have rebelled against you and would have nothing to do with you. Show us off to Satan and all his evil ones, that they couldn't stop you producing a people perfected by you and without number. We look forward, O God, to seeing the glorious success of the gospel, 100% successful. And we're on the way to it and living in it. We worship you together in Jesus' name. Amen.